This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
That's a secret word coming up at 420 for your chance to win tickets to see Disturbed. And when you hear that word, text it to 206-803-ROCK. Our question, when did food do you dirty?
I'm just looking at the text here, and this whole thing started. We're talking about the chicharrón. The guy broke his tooth on the chicharrón.
Correct.
You brought up the fact that there's hairs on the chicharrón, not all the time, but
just be a grown up.
Sure. Then you maybe don't need hair, but you showed the pictures. I'm sure those were the extreme examples. Then we started. Mike, you showed us a picture of ham that clearly is a pig's butthole. Then there's bacon that has pig nipples. Then this text comes in. This should make everyone feel better. As a former meat cutter for a major grocery chain, we used to find nipples on bacon quite often. But the worst thing I ever cut into...
God damn it. I didn't think I'd ever hear that statement.
What? Anything that could ruin bacon?
We used to find nipples on bacon quite
all
often.
The time. I think that's fair to never think you'd hear that. I have a question for you then, meat cutter. Do you put them to the side? And if you do, and I came in as a request and said, look, I want a pound of bacon, but I want your nipply bacon. Is it cheaper? Do I get a discount if I specifically want your nipply bacon?
Look. Just save me all the nipples.
Save me the nipples.
And put them in a bag and freeze them. And I'm going to come in and do
and
like,
you know,
for
my stew.
Like chicken gizzards.
Yeah, whatever.
Just kind of fry them up.
Some people like gizzards. Some people eat chicken feet. I want pig nipples. But the sad part is his text is not done. So, yes, they find nipples on the bacon quite often. But the worst thing I ever cut into, I hate to share this with everyone, was a cyst and a pork loin that was as green as the inside of an avocado and the size of a baseball. Yep.
When did food do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brandy. Welcome to the men's room.
Good morning.
Hola.
Hola. Okay, so here's my story. So basically, the short, sweet version of it is I was eating a baby carrot. I laughed hysterically, which caused the baby carrot to go into my nasal passage, which then caused me to sneeze so violently. I had to go to the doctor, which then sent me to the ER for x-rays because I ended up with whiplash.
You're kidding me.
Have we talked to you before?
Actually, I think so. Maybe like 20 years ago.
That's just a very, I'm like,
specific story.
Yeah, just, you don't hear a lot of baby carrot tragic stories.
So thing gets lodged in your nasal cavity, like you're sneezing, but does the carrot come out or is it still in there?
So I think the carrot did come out, but because I had sneezed for like, it was a good like 2-3 minutes of just like head back and forth, violently sneezing, and it gave me whiplash. And so then I had to keep getting papers from my insurance saying, hey, we need the information from the car accident you got into. And I kept trying to tell them I wasn't in a car accident.
You ate a baby carrot.
It was a baby carrot.
No, that's a tough sell. I mean,
when you explain this to the insurance company, are they still willing to cover this?
So they did eventually, you know, they covered it right away, but they were insistent so much. It took like almost 5 years for them to finally go, oh, okay, we finally got your medical records.
So did they not believe? I would have to believe someone's telling me the truth, because that is such a ridiculously stupid story. I'm like, there's no way you made that up. Right. This must be true.
I got to ask you, I've heard of people getting whiplash in a car crash. What are the actual symptoms after you get it? Like, what's going on with you? Like,
why did you know you had to go to the ER?
Do you pull a muscle? Is it like, what physically do you do?
It was my neck was really sore and I couldn't really turn very well. At the time I was in college. And so, you know, I'm just like, oh, whatever. I slept weird, drank too much the night before. And then it just never got better, you know, and then the next day it was worse. And like, I could not turn my head left or right. So I was like, all right, we'll go to the doctor. The doctor, she looked at me and she was like, we're going to send you for, you know, some MRIs. And so that's when they're like, oh, you've got whiplash. I had to wear a collar. It was horrible.
Oh, my God. Oh, do you still eat baby carrots?
Occasionally, but I will always remember.
I was going to say,
I would never not remember that.
Yeah. Trust me.
I still have trauma.
I look at my mushrooms every time I cook them.
You have to.
I made them last night. I had to look at each and every slice, because they were sliced. I had to look at each and every one of them.
Yeah, do, man.
I turned them over. I put them in the pan one at a time.
I don't look at everything I cook. I certainly do with mushrooms, just because it's fungus. And yes, I get them from the grocery store, but like anything, there's no guarantees. And especially after your story, it's like, I don't want that.
So how can I eat a block of blue cheese and be fine? I mean, honest to God, how does that work?
Somehow that mold is different
than
the mold.
That's what I'm saying. How does that work? But it's still a dairy product.
It's a dairy product, but that mold is cultivated. It is.
I understand all that,
but I don't know.
I'm still eating mold.
It is. It's just a tasty, non-lethal mold. I mean, like a mushroom.
I understand that,
but so what? I don't know.
You just think that would be high on the chart of a way to get sick.
Oh, you said there should be more blue cheese.
Bad experiences. Right. I would just assume that.
That's fair. I don't know why.
I've never heard
not.
Of that ever.
And I love blue cheese.
Me too.
I'll eat the
trust me.
We had a guy.
That's so weird. You hate vegetables, but you like that stuff.
It doesn't taste anything like vegetables. It's not.
No, I know.
I got weird taste. I'm sorry. I just don't like. But whatever the chemical or enzyme that's in almost all of them, my tongue picks up. And I've said this before. My brother in high school, he had some kind of experiment for high school, and he brought home they look like acid tabs, but just pieces of paper towel, and never sprayed with. Like I said, it's either an enzyme, protein, or chemical that's in vegetables. And he and my mother placed it on their tongue. They tasted nothing. They said it tastes like a paper towel. So that's what my father and I assumed it would taste like. We put it in, and it was bitter and horrible. We're like, what is this? He goes, that's the thing that makes vegetables taste like vegetables.
Did your dad not eat vegetables either?
My dad would prefer not to eat vegetables, but you're 84. He is married to my mother.
It's working.
He goes to the doctor.
It's working.
I know, but
it's
I think
working.
He'd rather die eating peanuts and vanilla ice cream, because that's his jam. But my mom makes sure. Now, here's the thing. So, like, last time I visited them, we went to get barbecue. Everyone mowed down on barbecue, but he got this little side salad, okay? The speed with which he and I both consumed our barbecue says, we like barbecue. Watching him eat that salad was almost painful. You would think he was doing it for a telethon. Like, bro, like, just don't eat. You obviously don't want to eat this. Your expression has changed. You're not talking as much
anymore.
You're
not happy.
You're just chewing, and you look pissed. And I'm like, because he got the salad. Because I know he tastes what I taste.
Yeah, I mean, hey, some vegetables are better than others.
For sure. I can eat pepper. I eat peppers, onions.
Root vegetables you're fine with. So if it's in the ground.
Potatoes, that kind of thing.
Other than like radishes, which probably have no taste.
Now, everyone says radishes don't have taste. Radishes don't have a lot of taste. But that little bit of taste they have sucks. It's like a pea. Like, no, they don't explode in flavor, but they taste like ass.
Sometimes Ted will vouch for this on a traditional taco, a Mexican taco, when they put the sliced radishes on top. Seems to fit into that pretty good.
It does.
That's my one time where I'm like, radishes, huh? Gives a little crispiness to it.
I've tried it. Brightens it up
a little bit.
The texture's not bad. I don't mind the texture. It is the taste. And even Mexican food with all the spices and everything, it's almost like my taste buds seek out the vegetable because I saw it. And I'm like, I can taste it. Castle's wife tried to trick me years ago. I can't remember. We went over there for dinner. She made some kind of pasta. She goes, hey, how do you like it? I'm like, oh, I like it just fine. But I said, I know this pasta is made of something different. She's like, it's a cauliflower thing. I'm like, right, I can tell. It wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
But I don't like it as much as I like pasta.
Well, like I always say, I don't like eating mushrooms, right? Mm-hmm. Regular mushrooms. But I was at a house once, and it was nighttime, and somebody had foraged and got all these mushrooms. They had like a Costco pizza, but I didn't see they put mushrooms on top. as much as I hate them, I still just sat there. Again, I don't know where I get this from, but I'm just like, you're growing up, just eat it. And then when we left, my friend was like, I didn't think you liked mushrooms. Like, I didn't. I almost puked on the fire pit.
Wow.
When did food do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tony. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, my two cousins and I, back in, we'll go, I think about 94, flew up to, well, my cousin down here, I had one in Alaska, fly to go caribou hunting up in Alaska with my younger cousin. So we do the whole thing. We fly out on a float plane. You know, it's like out of Talkeetna, and it's, oh, I don't know, 2.5 hour flight in the middle, and I know where nowhere is now. So fly out there, and they land on a puddle. Get out there. All you hear is the wind blowing by your ears. So we get tent set up. Everything's fine. We're eating Mountain House dehydrated meals because you get weighed to get on the plane. And you have to be under a certain weight with all your gear and you. So you got to pack light and think smart. So Mountain House dinners, don't weigh nothing. And we filter out the water out of the pond, and everything's golden. So we each get a caribou in the 5 days we're out there. And, you know, like I said, the whole time we're eating dehydrated meals, I think we had prunes too, and for dessert.
Real quick, I got a question.
In the middle of nowhere.
you got three caribou. You're in a tent. Obviously, it's cold there. Mm. Where do you keep the caribou carcass in the meat while you're, you know, because you're basically, yeah, you're in a tent. Outside, oh, yeah, is obviously a refrigerator, but there's also bears and everything else. So,
oh, yeah, and the area that they put us at was nothing but blueberries. You could see them on the ground, and we're going, fabulous. This is going to end well. So the caribou that we got, each of the carcasses, we put about 100 yards away from the tent. Cousin found some deal that if you get them all cleaned up and you do some of the stuff and then you wrap them in cheesecloth after you skin them, that the blood dries and it creates a crust and kind of gives it a protective barrier,
okay,
on the meat.
Okay. Oh, so, okay. I was curious. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, luckily, anyway, the three guys that we met later, they got theirs really quick, and they had a bear watching them the whole time while they were cutting them up and doing their thing.
Pervert.
Yeah. So
the bear was masturbating.
So, oh, right? Look at that.
Yeah, you know, he's sitting on the hill going, oh, meat.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we get all done. They come pick us up. And we head back. We're, like I said, and we first thing we do, land in Talkeetna, and then we get all the stuff in the truck to drive back to Anchorage. And my cousin goes, let's stop at McDonald's. Hey, fabulous, man, real food. You know, we haven't had real food for a week. And we get in there, you know, we order what we do. And I kid you not, as soon as that last bite of that Big Mac went down, my body went, hey, remember me? And it was like, wham, okay, gotta go. Didn't quite make it.
Oh,
made
no.
Made it into the bathroom. Made it in there. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be nasty. Drop the trowel. Okay, underwear shot. So did the business, and I'm dying. I mean, it's like you literally got food poisoning. It was just going through you like that. And all I did was eat McDonald's. And it was like 30 seconds after that last bite. And as I'm doing my thing and kind of, you know, getting rid of the underwear, threw the underwear in the trash, covered it over, so it kind of hide it a little bit. And my cousin is banging on the door. Hurry the hell up. Oh, sorry. Hurry up and get done. I got to go. And I'm kind of laughing at the same time. But it was just like liquid plumber going through there. It was just.
So he had the same issue as you? Did he have the same issue as you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we all had something different. My oldest cousin had nuggets. I had a Big Mac.
See,
I think he had a burger, I think.
Are you sure this is something that happened like a day ago or a day and a half ago, and now it's hitting you? Because it doesn't seem like your body can process stuff that fast. I mean, obviously,
it
potentially can.
Well, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was the burgers and everything else we ate coming out, but I think it was just the shock of the grease and the.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And whatever else.
That, you know what? That can happen.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think it wasn't anything wrong with the food, I don't think, but it was, I think, the going from, hey, you're eating, you know, freeze-dried rice and whatever else to, I think we had, Kool-Aid mixed with the water, so it tastes a little better.
Plus, you're the only three people at McDonald's that desperately needed to use the bathroom.
So how many pounds of meat did each of you guys get?
Total, we turned in 100 pounds of meat with no bones. It was straight meat.
And so how did you make that when you got home? Stew? Did you do sausage?
Yeah,
ground?
You turn it into, my cousin had a butcher friend, so we turned the meat into him. And the rule of thumb up there is if you turn in 100 pounds or more of meat, you get your meat back. So as you're processing the meat in the garage and cutting out all the bad spots, picking out all the hair and doing all that and making it nice, if you don't have 100 pounds, well, then you get somebody else's junk that they just might have just dropped off and called it good.
Okay.
So anyway, see, we got the meat back, and you get to pick what you want. So they gave us roasts. I had a roast the size of a football. And then we had cube steaks, summer sausage, pepperoni.
Damn.
And I think there was something else. I mean, I ended up coming back with a 6-foot cooler full of stuff. Of course, then again, we brought back some crab legs and some halibut.
Well, hell yes you did.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty good trip.
That does sound like a good trip.
I don't know if I want to be in the middle of Alaska in a tent, but yes.
I do not. By the way, we got an update from our meat cutter friend that texted in earlier. The one who said, you'd be surprised how many nipples we find on the bacon. And I said, do you set it aside or what's the deal? So she responded and says, I'm the meat cutter girl, and yes, we used to set the nipply bacon aside after lots of giggling, and we either marked it down or gave it to nasty customers.
Huh.
So you go up there to the meat cutter, have a bad attitude, ask for some bacon, probably have some nipples on there.
I don't know how you can have a bad attitude with the butcher. They're going to hook you up.
But people suck.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. I mean, that's all it is.
When did food do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Or you stood there at the counter going,
and then you're getting a nipply bacon.
Yeah.
You know, man, now I want to go to my local grocery store, just go to the butcher, ask for bacon. I'm just curious to see, are there nipples on? And then if there are, do I bring it up? Would that be in bad form to say, hey, can I get a different slice? I'm pretty sure this is a nipple.
I've bought marked down bacon.
You think it's because there's...
But you know, like the end of the meat case, it's always like a couple of those steaks that gotta go.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. Was I eating nipply bacon?
Probably. If it's marked down, I'm just guessing. Based on her text alone, just check it next time.
I wouldn't know if there's a nipple on my bacon.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because I don't really investigate my bacon.
I take every piece and put it in the pan.
I do too, but I'm not like staring at it. You know what I mean? I just got to pull it off, put it on the pan, pull off the next piece. But now I'm going to have my eyes and my kids say, Dad, what are you looking for? The pig nipples.
Mm-hmm. When did food do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it now. It just, honestly, I don't think I'd give it a second thought. Right? It'd be just those little things on the end.
I have eaten pig nipple then.
Yeah, I never thought of that as being a nipple.
Let me see it.
You've eaten pig nipples.
I have not eaten pig nipples.
You have not?
Never.
You've never had bacon?
Never had,
things?
No, absolutely not.
In your life, I'm saying you've had at least 12 pig nipples in your life.
That is completely identifiable. There's no...
But it fries up.
Butts.
It still tastes like bacon.
You wouldn't think about it. To me, because when I see bacon, like, bacon just looks like bacon, right? So if I pull it out, and I know I've seen that before, just like in my home, but I don't give it a thought, I'm like...
Don't ruin bacon.
Look, you're probably eating pig nipples, man, but...
I mean, what if it was just on a cheeseburger?
No. No.
You probably wouldn't even see it. It's between the bun and the cheese.
The new McNipple burger? No, I'm not eating that.
Well, they wouldn't tell you.
Yeah.
You know, actually, that's a good point. You go to a restaurant, all right? They cook it for you.
Exactly.
You don't see it raw. I bet
you crush it and put it on top of your baked potato.
If I want to save money and I own a restaurant, I'm going to the butcher like, give me your nipply bacon.
I don't think they give you a deal.
I think they would. Because they set it aside, like she said, they set it aside to mark it down. So, like, I will buy your marked down nipple bacon. And I'm going to use it on my cheeseburgers because no one is ever going to see it. Or is that where bacon bits come from?
I was just thinking it could be bacon bits.
Oh, come on.
They're calling bacon tips.
Put it on your salad, on your baked potato.
Hey, look, if you knew what was in a lot of your food, like you just wouldn't eat sausage again.
That is for sure.
Right? Like, if you knew how much, what's it, like, but insects are allowed and tomato paste and this and that.
But you know what the difference is, though? Honestly.
The size of the areola.
Whether or not you can see it. Right, so you know
that's a good point.
There are body parts in your tomato paste from all kinds of insects, rodents, whatever. But when you look at tomato paste, this looks like tomato paste. If they gave it to you and there were wings and legs on top, you wouldn't eat it, right? Sausage, same thing. God only knows what's inside of it. But even if you look, it's all ground up,
which is
a good reason. But now there's the pig nipples on your bacon. Like, if you don't know...
These are little dime-sized, pointy nipples.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it was the big, you know, salami nipple on a pig, I probably wouldn't know.
Okay, we're coming up on the holiday season. What happens if you guys get, like, a honey-baked ham and it's got the bungus on it?
Oh, man.
Honey-baked ham? Right, because I bought this for the holiday. You know
I
what?
I had to order it, probably.
Yeah, you did.
I'm serving that because it'll be the... I'd want that. That is my centerpiece.
You'd be like the Grinch carving the roast beast bungus?
I would point it out and be like, you know what that looks like? And they'd be like, yeah, but that's what it is.
You know what I would do? After it's, you know, ready, I'd stick a Snickers bar right in that hole. And then put it on the table.
Baby Ruth in there.
Just take it out of there. Like, maybe just like, you know, small fun size, just enough to, or spoke out.
Let it melt a little bit.
Exactly. Ah.
Stick some corn in there.
Happy Easter. When did food do you dirty? 206-803.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Rock.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Heads up there, KISW presenting live day Friday night, December 13th at Showbox Soto. Everything live. New originals, live music. The Barbershop Quartet will be there. Live sound effects, all the commercials, everything on stage.
Everything
will be 100% live with the Daily Mix Morning Show. And, of course, here us here in the Men's Room. Now, if you are a Rockaholic member, there is an email in your inbox right now with a pre-sale code. You can buy those tickets ahead of time. They go on sale Friday morning at 10. You can buy them up until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So just know that. Our question, when did food do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Okay. Miles just had an idea.
What's that?
We keep having these punishments for fantasy football.
Yeah.
I say if one of them loses, we get to do our show first.
Ooh, yeah. And then to sit out in the audience and get hammered and
heckle. Are you talking about live?
Live day.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah. How about that?
I'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Hang out with the men's room as they brown out and heckle.
We told you not to cuss.
You know, man, I like that. I like that idea
a
lot.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I'm happy, Danny.
When did food do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Okay, we've kind of created an issue here today.
Oh, come on, no more. I want to eat dinner tonight.
No, look, man, it's still, look, it's on the same train, okay? So, you know, like, if you yawn around other people start yawning. Or sometimes someone's laughing so hard, you start laughing.
Yeah.
Certain things are infectious. So, someone says, I'm at my local grocery store right now in the meat department. Thanks to this segment, I'm seeing nipples on everything, but
no,
not even,
you're not.
But not even where they're supposed to be. I think there's a nipple on a bacon wrapped jalapeno. The point is, he just thinks he's seeing nipples. It might not be pig nipples, but now that we've been going through this, he can't help but just find quote unquote nipples on all the food.
Well, they don't do
are
really.
Are the nipples in the room with us right now?
Okay, let me ask you this. So the cow has got those udders.
Udders, yeah.
Do they do anything with that as far as a culinary, anything?
Culinary, in my restaurant experience, no.
You've never seen the nipple
somewhere,
the nipple bag.
Somewhere whatever. Somebody eats
you
them.
Think you think it's in a beef sauce?
Is that just
why
one,
wouldn't you just go
is that just
like,
one big boob with,
one
like
big boob
six
with a bunch
nipples
of nipples?
On?
Yeah.
All right, so they just, cow's got one boob.
One boob, four nipples.
But you don't do anything with that from a food standpoint?
Not that I know of
hot
in
dogs,
restaurants.
Hot dogs, anything. I mean.
But that's my thing. I'm saying, I'm telling you, man. I bet you, like a beef hot dog, there's probably some udder in there.
Oh, it's a classic Chilean dish.
Really?
Of charcoal udder. Yeah.
What is it served butter. With? I mean, if this is the traditional thing.
Glass like, of milk.
The texture is soft and spongy with crispy edges and the familiar to grilled cow tongue.
Okay, spongy, not a good sales pitch for me. With food.
It's well, cow tongue's another weird one, right?
I can't eat that.
I like tongue tacos.
Yes.
But I have been somewhere where somebody was making them, and I knew her, and she goes, here, you like cow tongue tacos, here's a piece of tongue. And I don't know why, but that was different. And I didn't want to eat just a whole right, piece of
tongue. Tongue on tongue. Huh? Okay. When did food do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
And somebody here says udders do go into hot dogs.
I mean, look, it's un-American to ask what's in a hot dog.
Just don't. You don't want to know the answer to that.
Yeah.
You really, really don't want to know.
Those bologna meat.
Don't worry about it. Do you like it? Just enjoy it. Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So this happened back in January of 93. I was a ski instructor up at Stevens Pass, and I taught up on the weekend. And me and a buddy would ride up together, and on our way back, we would stop in Monroe at Jack in the Box and grab dinner.
All right.
Well, this one Sunday coming back, we both get a monster burger meal, the same meal, and we eat it and go home. And the next day, I have this really terrible news that happened, and so I was kind of upset about it. My best friend had committed suicide, so
jeez.
And I was emotionally upset, and you know, my stomach was in knots and this and that whole day. And so I end up leaving work early, going home, and well, the next day I wake up and my stomach still really hurts bad, and I end up taking another day off work. My family thinks it's, you know, because I'm upset about my friend. I go over to a buddy's house and we hang out and have a couple beverages just to try to, you know, get over what had happened. And I go to the bathroom and I come out and I go, hey, Conan, can you look at this? Because this looks really weird.
And I what everybody wants to hear.
Yes. Well, there was blood in the toilet and it looked like it was in my stool. So he goes, yeah, that doesn't look normal. So, you know, I'm sick for a couple of days. That Friday is the funeral and I'm a pallbearer. But by then they talked me to go to the doctor, so I made a doctor's appointment. So I go to the doctor that morning. They want me to leave a stool sample. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm in a suit. I'm going to a funeral. Maybe I'll come back later and do it. And they're like, okay, sure. And so then that day it comes out about that Jack in the Box in Monroe that a bunch of people had gotten E. coli from that Jack in the Box.
Oh,
sure, well, at least you had an answer. So at least you had an answer. Yeah, you knew definitively what was good. Did your buddy that you went skiing with, did he get sick as well?
No, so I was crazy. I got the bad burger. He got the good burger. Yeah, it was terrible. It was like, I mean, it felt like somebody was ripping my guts out for days.
And how long does it take for E. coli to get through your system?
Well, that happened, you know, I ate it Sunday, so it must have been, it was the next day, like 24 hours.
I got to ask, this is terrible, but when you bend over and you pick up that casket, for any reason with a weight, is there a thought in your head?
I'm going to crap myself.
That you might just do it then?
It was such a harsh day. I was surprised how heavy those stupid caskets are.
They're amazingly heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There was like six of us, and it was like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm going to pull a muscle. But no, I wasn't too worried about it by then. It started to feel better, and this is where it gets upsets me, because I didn't leave that stool sample, I end up contacting Jack in the Box, and they end up giving me money. But because I didn't have total proof of it, just the doctor saying it seems like you have E. coli, that I only got like $1,500. They gave me the week I had off and $500 pain and suffering.
Okay. All right.
At least you got something, but let that be a lesson, kids. When the doctor asks for a stool sample, just do it.
It is weird.
Is there a timeline on the stool sample?
It is weird to take that thing and just put it on the thing. And
I mean, there's got
to
be, right?
I mean, but I'm saying you're at the hospital, right? But you still have someplace to go. They're asking about it. You know, can you do a stool sample? Like, yeah, but I don't have to go now, fellas. Hey, how long do you have?
I'm pretty sure that at one point in time when I did one, either UPS picked that up or FedEx, I mailed it.
Oh, really?
I mailed it back to the hospital. I'm almost positive I've done that. I put poop in the mail.
Huh.
Not an actual, you just put a little smear on there, like, you know.
A smear on what?
They give you something that you put it in, then you put it in a little bag, and then give it back to them.
Can you do it at the hospital? Like, you know, sometimes you got to give a urine sample, and you just put it in that little urine locker.
If you're on the ready. I mean, do you have one on deck in that 45 minutes that you're at the hospital?
Because you might be like, dude, I actually went to the bathroom right before I got here. I wish you'd let me know. I got nothing.
So, like I tell you right now, Ted, you got to go ahead and give me a poop sample.
All right.
Can you do it?
can I drink some coffee and throw in a Zen?
Whatever it takes. I mean, if you come prepared, you got to do it.
I mean, that would take longer than giving you a urine sample.
Sure, for sure.
Work one up.
Yeah, man. If you
what are you doing, like jumping jacks in a waiting room? I mean, what the hell?
How do you? You know what? I've never been in that position because you're right. Like the urine sample, generally, like your yearly physical or whatever. Like sure. You know it's coming, so you try to prepare. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Try not to pee like before the thing. But you're right. That would be odd if somebody goes poop, dude.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
When did food do you dirty? 206-803 Rock.
Hello, Wyatt. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I guess just to get to it, so about probably like 10 years ago when I was 21, I went to Thailand by myself on my first trip abroad. And so I got into Chiang Mai. It was like 11 in the morning. So I was just walking around, checking out the place, seeing everything, and, you know, really was stoked to get some street food. So found this little cart and they were making like this really good soup, it looked like, and the smell just drew me over. So I went over there, got a bowl of it, and it was all good, you know, like first best dish ever. So anyways, like an hour goes by, maybe two, and all of a sudden I'm just feeling roomy, and I was like, man, I should probably go back to my hotel right now. I'm not too sure what's gonna happen. So I get in a tuk-tuk and give him the address, and this dude drops me off, and I look outside and I'm like, this can't be right. And I look out and it's a ladyboy bar. And I was just like, all right. So, are you sure this is it? And the guy's like, yeah, that's it. So I wander in and I talk to like the head mistress lady there. And I was like, I have a room here apparently. And she was like, oh yeah. Okay. Upstairs. And they just lead me to this sketchy, weird, just back, you know, a lot of dudes been up those stairs type of staircase. And then I go into my room and meanwhile, I'm just puking my guts up and crapping everywhere. And in this tiny little bathroom, that's just, it's basically like, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we're listening.
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, right. I thought I lost service for a sec. So anyways, yeah, the bathroom is this tiny little box. It's like an airplane box. And the shower head is like right above you. So you just turn on the water. So I got that turning on and I'm just sitting there naked, just crapping and throwing up, just letting it all go down the drain. And on every single wall around me, I could just hear like dudes and lady boys just pounding it out. Like, so rough, dude, just like men screaming in terror and then other dudes on the other side screaming in like excitement and shame. And then just, oh man, I just sat there and just pondered life decisions. And I had to sleep there for the whole night because I couldn't leave just because I was so damn sick. But and it went on all night, too. You know, I didn't get a moment's rest. When I was done crapping, the walls were still knocking.
That sounds horrible, man.
Yeah, the next morning I got out of there at like 7 or 8 and went to a better hotel. But, won't be buying a room for $7 a night anymore.
No. Was it a hotel or just like a brothel that sold rooms?
So it was like a brothel that also worked as a hotel. I don't know, man. I found it on Kayak. I didn't think they'd do me that wrong.
Hey, they said they get you low prices. They deliver.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know.
How was the
algorithm was doing, but
how was the rest of the trip though? After all that got settled down, did you finally find a decent hotel room and everything?
Rest of the trip. Yeah, it was badass. Found an awesome hotel for like $20. It was like staying at something that was way better. And then, made my way down south. And Bangkok was pretty freaking wild. And
but no more food poisoning.
Had a really good trip. No more food poisoning. I had like an iron stomach after that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I feel like Thailand is most... Like, if you're going to go for that kind of excitement, it's either, like, Thailand or Brazil.
Yeah, Thailand, you hear it all the time. I went for the beaches, and everyone's like, sure you did.
When my daughter was a teacher there, they had the street fair, the bigger one. It was either Saturday or Sunday. And that's basically all they ate. So they would just go there and eat, you know, all day long.
Yeah.
Do the thing, wander around town, and that was the old, just constantly grazing for everything and walking around. And that was
basically I'm down with that, man.
One big meal for the day. So, I mean, I'd give it a shot, knowing that.
Sure, man. I mean, I like Thai food, but like anything, when you go to the country of origin, it is different.
Yeah,
right? People are like, I love Mexican food. You go to Mexico, a little different than what you're eating up here.
What now? Nah, when did food do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mary. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, hi there. How are you?
We're doing great, Mary.
Well, let's hope none of us get food poisoning anytime soon, but I've had it a couple of times. The first time at a Sheraton hotel in Pasadena at a banquet in my honor because I had won a scholarship. And it turns out, yeah, about a third of the people at the banquet got it. But I was fine that night. Next morning, I'm in Latin class, of all things, and you just get that feeling of, oh, no. Oh, no.
Do you say in Latin, I'm going to pupicus my panticus?
Yeah, so I ended up in the loo and was in there through at least three changes of class because people would come and people would leave. But the better story was, a few years later, and I'm a third-year OBGYN resident, and my fiancé and I went to pick up the wedding rings, and we went out to dinner and had a lovely dinner. It was like a surf and turf deal. And I spent the night on the porcelain throne with a wastebasket in my lap. Mm. And you all know the scenario. And finally, got a couple hours of sleep. It was Saturday, and I was in charge of doing hospital rounds with the junior residents and the students. If my son Colin is listening, he'll have heard this story. And I mean, I could barely walk. I shouldn't have driven. But, you know, my blood pressure was like 70 over 30 and pulse was off the chart. So they started an IV. And I felt a little better. And, you know, I grabbed my IV pole and we did rounds. This is at a county hospital.
Wait, you're doing the rounds with an IV pole
in your arm?
With the IV pole
What kind of look do the patients give you when you walk in? And obviously, like, you're supposed to be there, but you have an IV hooked up to your ass.
You can lie. I'm super hungover, dude.
Yeah, it was quite the double take from a lot of them. But again, it was one of the Los Angeles County hospitals, and a lot of them couldn't speak English, so we did a lot of translating, you know, that I had been ill and needed my fluids. But then after that was all done, I still wasn't quite up to snuff. So they hung another bag, because I'd had the first liter of fluids, hung another bag and did a little more rounds and all that. And it was time to leave. And I thought, well, heck, I might as well get the whole bag. So I just carried it down to my car and hung the bag on the rearview mirror and drove home. Which, if I'd gotten pulled over, that would have been very strange to explain.
But it wouldn't be illegal, yeah. Right? Just a weird conversation to have with the cops?
I guess, yeah. I don't know if there's a law against having an IV running.
Driving while dehydrated.
Back of an ambulance.
I mean, it's not a good look, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Is there a limit to how many bags they can give you in one sitting?
I don't think so. I mean, sometimes people need a lot.
Like, I think that eventually there's just a limit of how much you could fit in.
Well, sure. Yeah, I don't know if they're like
that. Exactly.
Depending on your level of dehydration, you got
5 liters of blood in your body, but when you operate on somebody and 4 of them are inside her abdomen, she's going to get some IV fluids.
Damn. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, okay. I have all sorts of fun stories to tell. But food poisoning, you know it when you got it because it feels like you've got 3 or 4 guys with machetes having at your belly.
You're not wrong. I don't know anyone who has the inability to determine that they have food poisoning. You know, they never say, like, oh, I think I'm getting sick. I think I have a fever. They're like, I have food poisoning.
You get the sweats.
You know if you have it.
Yeah.
It's amazing the torture. Like, everyone has sweat before, but like the 3 or 4 times I've gotten food poisoning, one from an oyster, like, I made it home. Dinner was fine. And I wake up in the middle of the night and as I'm leaning over the toilet to puke, the sweat is, it's like a faucet running off of my forehead.
But it's a faucet of sweat, seemingly, or saliva running out of your mouth.
Right.
So if you are sweating on the outside and your mouth is just drooling uncontrollably,
and your gut hurts,
you pretty well have diagnosed yourself. I mean, It could be a fever. It could be a flu. But more than likely,
it's food poisoning.
If it comes on that quick, because typically that stuff gradually comes on over time. Like, I think I'm getting sick.
Right.
That's not food poisoning. I am sick right now.
Right now.
And it lasts for like a solid day.
Yeah. It really does.
When did food do you dirty? 206-803
Right. As opposed to like you went out. You ate grease of pizza, and you got to wake up in the middle of the night and evacuate your bowels. You're like, those were just poor choices. Like,
that is not food poisoning.
Right.
These are bad decisions. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So 7 years ago was when the job ended because the company filed for bankruptcy. It's not my fault. But I used to be the marketing manager for a home improvement company. Grew our event schedule from 13 to 75 events. This included about 15 events in and around Spokane. So I would drive from Seattle to Spokane the night before a trade show and usually stop in George to either top off on gas and then continue on, or usually, actually, to go to the bathroom. Well, they had a taco truck.
I gotta ask. Like, why not like Cleveland or Ellensburg? Why George? That is a tiny town.
Because I'm trying to get there as quickly as I can, so I can set up the show and then hit happy hour in downtown Spokane because the prices are amazing.
All right. Okay. All right.
So I stop in George, and this truck always smells amazing, and I can't really eat a taco and drive. It's a little messy. So, first time I get the steak burrito. You can't see me put steak in air quotes, but I'm doing it. And I eat it as I'm going down the road. And oh man, I don't even get to Moses Lake before my tummy is gurgling, and I'm like, oh no, 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 no. And I don't know about you. I don't see any reason to stop in Moses Lake, so I keep driving. Like, no, there's no one here that really looks that welcoming. Let's just keep going. So there's a Love's truck stop in Ritzville that was like my emergency stop on just before Spokane. I barely, like, I am like on the way in the door, like, oh God, like I'm just saying it under my breath. So I get there and I make it on time. So I have another show. Rest of the weekend goes fine. I have another show the next month. And I told myself, no roadside burrito, dude. Don't do it. Well, of course, I didn't eat breakfast. I have the same trip. I stop at the same place. Smells amazing. I go, maybe I should give him another shot. Everybody screws up once. Oh, God. Well, the burrito smelled fine. Tasted fine. I didn't make it to the truck stop. I probably crapped my pants somewhere around Royal City, I think.
Okay.
And I couldn't get the pants. Like, I pulled over. I couldn't get the pants all the way off, or it wasn't the right angle. And I totally crapped on my pants. I throw that out, like the underwear, and then I try to use like the corners of the underwear to clean up the pants. And I leave those on the... I suck. I littered. I know. And half of it's biodegradable. And I just go beeline it to my damn hotel. And I didn't even want to... I just wanted to go home at that point. God, that was horrible. I still to this day will never, ever, ever buy a roadside burrito.
Yeah. Words of the wise. Still to come, the return of Who Sucks Less, and we've got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.